The following podcast is brought to you by Iconic Nation Media. Welcome to Season 5 of Level Up Podcast. I'm your host, Kimberly Levy. I'm here to guide you on a journey of personal growth and fulfillment. Join me as we delve into the challenges of both business and personal life, aiming to discover our true selves and connect more deeply with the world around us. On this podcast, we'll explore the topics that inspire and empower us to become the best version of ourselves. From book reviews to interviews with iconic individuals, we'll have insightful conversations that resonate with your journey. And a big thank you to our sponsors, the Boys and Girls Club of America, Greater Conejo Valley, and Levy's Deli for supporting the show and helping us bring these valuable discussions to you. Please share, rate, and review the podcast. And thank you so much for listening. You can also leave your comments at Kimberly Levy on social media. Thank you for your feedback and thank you for listening. Hello and welcome back to Level Up Podcast. I'm your host, Kimberly Levy. Today is part two with Dr. Karen. And in case you guys missed it last week, Dr. Karen was on and she is a psychotherapist with a master's and PhD in psychology and licensed marriage, family, and child therapist. And this week we uncover women in new roles and finding their place in society as both working mothers or stay-at-home mothers, whatever that role is for you. And I finally am able to get a sanity check around parenting and youth sports and various challenges and questions I had around what is the right level of pushing your child versus letting them just explore and have fun. And we navigate overall subjects around change and having a scarcity mindset versus an abundant mindset. Finally, we talk about taking risks and covering uncharted waters, specifically in terms of entrepreneurial endeavors and how that can be uncomfortable. And finally, we talk through maintaining a state of improvement. With that, Dr. Karen, welcome to Level Up Podcast. This is a fun one to talk about. Success. Fear of success. How do we even begin to unpack that one?
Oh, that's a big one. We're going to need a long time for that one.
I should have brought us wine.
Success. That there we go right back to being young again, too, and looking at our family, our families of origin, our culture, what we think about. Is it okay? First of all, we have to then talk about women being successful in a world that wasn't as okay as men being successful. So that's a big topic.
Well, there's a couple things that I will say, like as a woman, from the woman lens, there's two things that come up for me as we talk about it. One, I find when you're a successful woman, it's hard to find other successful women that are willing to partner with you. Instead, you get a lot of tearing each other down and negativity.
Envy.
So that's one thing I want to unpack with you. Mm-hmm. The second thing is, it's really difficult to be hitting your stride in your career and also being in the prime of motherhood.
Absolutely. That is, I think, one of the most difficult. And think about this, you know, we can go all the way back to the caveman era. It was unheard of. Mothers were not going to do anything other than have baby on their breast and one in their tummy. And that was their job and the most important job in the world, because it meant to create a universe and to make sure it continued. So when you think about it now, to be running a company, to be doing the things that you are doing, so many women are out there doing phenomenally well. And I think it is so important for women to support women and for powerful women to invite other women and to teach them and to show them and to include them, even if it is in the smallest ways, you know, to have a boss, let's say, who yes, may be the boss, but can also illustrate that you too can find a way to climb a ladder, that the ladder that you want, because not everybody wants to be a boss.
That's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. So how come, so this is one thing I have to say, and this is really a question for you. It's an observation, a question. I see that women really produce in terms of output of work and impact in everything they do. They grind. They are producing and cranking work. I see men, they operate differently. Now they're impactful, but their impact comes through teamwork. Mm-hmm. They work together a lot more. And I don't see that kind of partnership and teaming amongst the female community. Why is it that we see it, and you just mentioned envy, why is mm-hmm. it that when we see another powerful, beautiful, whatever kind mm-hmm. of successful woman, how come our first instinct isn't like a man to say, hey man, you know, or
why can't we, let's join forces.
We don't
let's
do that.
Do this together.
We don't. I consciously work at this now because I've been on the receiving end of that and it doesn't feel good. What is it with us? Why are women not wired the way a man is to team? Why are we threatened?
Let's think about this together. Let's use our knowledge together, because do you think that it has something to do with the newness of women finding their place in the world? And that, for instance, when I said to you that I was the first female, that I remember when another female was brought in, I wanted to make sure that she wasn't going to replace me. Mm. Now, there was no reason to worry about that. There was plenty of room for both of us, and we ultimately became very good friends and colleagues and all. But I think there is some natural protection perhaps going on, and that women haven't quite learned that there is room. What do you think? I mean, do you think
I love that. I think that is such an interesting, poignant point that I haven't thought of. You're right. We're new in mm-hmm. our roles.
Yes.
And even my role as a CEO, you know, that's different. There's not a lot of female CEOs out there.
That's right.
They certainly exist. It's not that they don't exist.
And those CEOs take a lot of flack from men as well as women. So talk about breaking a glass ceiling. Even though we are somewhat used to seeing women way more powerful, and we have gained a lot since Women's Lib, you know, since our first marches. But it is new to see everyday women having really profound effects and raising a family.
Yes. I also think there's a lot of judgment, and I have really tried to dissect and challenge myself and pushed myself and try on both hats. So, for example, when I was growing up, so there's a lot of judgment. What I mean by that is there's a lot of judgment between stay-at-home mom, working mom.
Oh, yes.
And we have a lot of conversations. Abby and I had on our other podcast, we had a whole discussion about that because it's something that's a viral discussion on TikTok. And well, I've had the opportunity to try on both. Mm-hmm. And it really pushed me to think and have so many realizations. And essentially, I used to have a perception of stay-at-home moms. Like, what do they even do? Because I never had a stay-at-home mom.
Yes. Ah.
So then I was able to take a year off and I tried it on for size.
And?
I went sprinting back to the boardroom.
So you see how hard.
So
and
hard.
Hard, sometimes very lonely.
Oh, yeah.
Which is an interesting, you know, you think, oh, she's got it made. You know, this. Through the years, I've seen lots of women who are somehow trying to work out seeing me, paying for their therapy because they're concerned that their husbands will think this is a luxury, and how dare I have problems because, after all, I'm a stay-at-home mom. Mm. I'm so lucky. Mm. Whereas it's one of the hardest jobs.
Oh, yeah. It's not a job for one. I can attest to that fully. And I see that in my own home when I have two grandmothers at my house, a cleaning lady, and I have a lot of help. And every single one of us, if there's a camera on, you would see four adults sprinting around the house.
All
cooking,
the time, yes.
Cleaning, tending to children.
Yes.
Busy.
Yes. All the time.
It's not a job for one.
No. 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 Which is another whole conversation about that we are learning how to invite men to be real parents.
Yes.
To be the secondary mama.
Yes. Yes. And the children love it.
Yes.
They need it.
And for such a long time, it was the man in the gray flannel suit, you know, the man who would get on the subway or the train or the car and leave at 9 and 8 in the morning and not come home until 7 and expect dinner on the table. And very little conversation,
yes,
with their child.
Very little. I actually think, kind of tying these two conversations together, I think, so I get questions like, how are you so confident in all of this? And the more I really think about it, I really think a lot of my confidence comes from my dad and how he's been such an instrumental part of my upbringing in terms of my being a cheerleader, building confidence. And he was on an East Coast schedule because he's a financial advisor. So he was able to be home in the afternoons with us.
See, that's so
powerful.
Yes.
So I think the role of a dad plays a massive role.
Yes.
In the children's self-confidence.
Yes. Yes. And I think it's still undervalued, which is, you know, again, kind of, we're talking about the workplace, kind of this confusion that we haven't gotten comfortable with. They're thinking about now perhaps having a 4-day work week, which wouldn't that be nice? And working from home, doing more of your work at home for fathers so that they can interact and pick up their kids and be part of soccer, not just having the soccer mom.
But, well, yesterday we were at ice hockey and I was cursing, saying, where is Brian? This is his job to put all this equipment on this kid. I'm like, oh, you better stop working and get over here now because right. This is hard.
Absolutely.
I needed him.
It is not a job, like you said, to be done by one.
No.
And this statement, it takes a village. I think it takes a village to raise a really healthy, whole, creative person. And those are the people that we are in so need of.
We are.
At this time in our world.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, I had a moment yesterday. I took Carter to ice hockey and I had a realization that he really needs to be doing, if he's going to do this sport or another sport, I really don't care which sport, candidly, he really needs, he's at an age where already it's getting to be more and more competitive, and he's only 8, which he, you know, ice hockey, they're skating, they're with the stick, it's a whole major thing.
Right, right.
These kids, Dr. Karen, these kids are good. They're really good. It's impressive.
It is impressive, and it's confusing, and I'm of two minds about all this.
Yes, tell me.
Which is kind of another conversation, which I'm not sure. I mean, my grandson, one of them was a great baseball player from the time he was like 5, 6, 7. You know, he just had a throwing arm. But it got to the point where by the time he was 12, 13, 14, it was so competitive and there was so much pressure. And we were up there visiting because we weren't living close. We were here and they were in San Francisco and we spent a lot of time up there, but we were up for one of his games and they lost and he was beside himself. He cried and he wouldn't get out of the car and have brunch with us. He was just a mess. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not sure, you know, is this fun? Are you having fun? Is this how to spend your time? You know, and mom's a mess because she's embarrassed and she doesn't know what to do. Dad's is sort of annoyed. And so it's a predicament.
It is. Well, and so to that end, so I played fairly competitive. I mean, club soccer at 10, 11, which is young. And I mean, I wasn't in college. I wasn't, you know, I played varsity as a freshman. Okay, that was my big claim to fame, but big deal. But at the end of the day, sports was not my leading hand, right? Mm-hmm. And it mm-hmm. taught me a lot of character building traits, teamwork, grit, mindset,
yes,
overcoming adversity. All of the, for all those reasons, it's it played a formative role in my development in a positive way.
See, that's where team. That's one of the reasons you are disappointed that other women aren't team players with you, because as a young child, you learned how to be on a team, whereas many other children never learned that lesson. So we go back to early
development. That's an interesting point as well. No, it really is. Yeah. And for that reason, I'm very aware that, and I said this to Carter, I said, look, I don't care if you are the best one or the worst one on the team. I care about, you need to pick one team sport. And Brian and I both agree on this. One team sport. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be the best. You do need to put in your best focus and effort. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to force
And have
it.
Fun.
Yeah, that's exactly
and
it.
And have fun.
I don't want to force you into it. So what I've said to him is, I want you to pick a sport that you love, because I don't want to force it on you.
Right.
I want it to come from within, because it's going to be a lot of work, and I don't want, it's not something I can force on you.
Right.
Nor
right.
would I want to.
Right.
So I struggle because I see these kids and the mom tells me, oh, we've been coming 3 days a week for a year and they love it. Her boys love it.
Okay.
But they got burnt out at the end of the season because it went on for 9 months. 9 months.
That's a long time.
Long season.
Yes, that's a very long time for a little person.
Yeah, they're 8 years old.
What, you know, what?
I don't know. It just, yeah. I brought that up for a reason, was because I sat there and I went, oh my God, am I falling asleep at the wheel? My kid is not even close to as good as these kids because I have not put in that time with him. And here I am. Am I focusing too much on my work? And it really put me in, like, I was starting to really come apart at the seams because I'm going, oh my God, I'm not supporting my child properly.
I think you're doing just fine. And the check-in is, are you still enjoying it? Are you still liking this? Is this still fun for you? Because really, the lessons that you're learning are the important part of it. And if it's not enjoyable, then you're not learning these life lessons that are going to be helpful. And maybe there's something else that may teach you.
Yes.
Which I think is very nice. Now, I have another grandson. So that particular grandson never really pursued. He stopped playing baseball. It was just, he didn't want to anymore. And we were all sure that he was going to be in the major leagues. But that wasn't what he wanted. And he did some soccer. He did various things. And now, after graduating college, what is he? He's a drummer. He loves music. So for him, he's finding his way. And does he have to know exactly at 21 or 22? No. No. Can he do the things that... Can he test and taste? Because that's the other thing. I remember when I was 17, I was supposed to know when I was going to college what I wanted to be. I had no idea. I had no idea. And I think it's unfair.
It's super unfair.
I honestly think a gap year would be so nice for every child after graduation.
Tell me more about that. Why do you think that?
Because I think that's the time when the brain, the brain is not at all mature. You know, we kept thinking that people are mature by the time they're 18 or 20 or 21, and that's not true. The brain does not gain maturity until the end of the 20s. 29, 30 is when you have a mature, grown-up brain.
Oh, wow. I can attest to that. That all makes sense.
Yeah.
For me.
So those years where we... especially, you know, make early decisions. And for those of you listening who might have gotten married at 18 or, you know, and had babies, so did I, you know. And I thought at the time that was what my life's goals were. And I think back now, and I was very young, and I'm not, it is nothing to be angry or upset. I wouldn't change a thing. I adore my children. But I think it would be lovely to say to kids, your college is, again, another step in learning more about yourself and seeing what really grabs you. And when, if at the end of college, you know, I mean, like my grandson knew exactly, he had known since he was little, he loved dancing. So he was very good at it. He was one of the very few that got into Juilliard. So for him, he didn't need a gap year.
Right.
He just began to dance, period.
That's impressive.
But for so many other young people, it's like, okay, so I took 4 years of school and I kind of like sociology or I kind of like science or I kind of, but I don't really know what I want to do. And I say, hey, work, do, if you can, travel. If you can, get out and see the world. If you can, not everybody can. If you want to go to a trade school, try a trade if that interests you. I mean, there are so many options.
Yes. Yeah, that's interesting. We were just speaking about that yesterday, and it's confusing. It's I don't know. I feel like everything is confusing as a parent, as a child. There's just so many different thoughts and opinions, and you just never know what's right or wrong. But I agree with this concept of trying things, and I'm in a season two where I'm trying something new.
You sure are.
And it's very scary, and this goes back to our success discussion that I wanted to also continue on, which is, you know, a lot of us, it's hard. There was a thought. I'm going to pose a question to you. There is a thought that people have an internal temperature of their self-image, essentially is what it represents. Mm-hmm. And so if your self-image is stuck at, let's just say, 75 degrees, and then you start to get to heat up because you are becoming more successful, you rise in your organization and you get double the salary and, or, you know, whatever the up-leveling is. And what happens is there's this thought that people tend to go back to their comfortable temperature. So they will start self-sabotaging, etc.
Yes, yes.
To get back to that internal comfortable temperature. What do you think about that?
Well, when you're 75 degrees, you're sort of moving in the world of 75 degrees.
Yes.
And everything that's comfortable, all of your friends are at about the 75 degree level. And the ways in which you spend your time are at that 75 degree level. And when you move up, there is both a gain and a loss, which you'll find with almost anything. There's always a bit of a loss when we change. And I say that to people because as they get better and as they find more of themselves, they also say, there's something that I feel that's not as there's something else. And I say, yeah. Yes, you know, you don't get to grow without a little bit of grieving of what was, because you're leaving your 75 degrees behind and you're having to find a whole different world. And I think we have trouble again with change. And is it okay? And am I okay doing this? And are people going to care about me? And is this safe? I mean, those are all questions that we ask ourselves.
It's true. I think this idea of going back to the safe and the familiar is so powerful. And it goes back to the way you were raised, your formative years.
Yes.
Like, I personally can attest to the fact that I was raised with modest income, not poor, but the generation before me, dirt poor. Uh-huh. I was not as poor, but certainly not wealthy. You know, we never had money for vacations. There was no private school, myself through school, all those kinds of things. All things that, by the way, I think I'm very grateful for all of those experiences because they character built me.
Yes.
And I think the negative of that has been outgrowing and pushing myself to leave the scarcity mindset.
Yes. Yes.
Very uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable.
So I want to give a practical example. I'm going to be totally honest and transparent because I like to give a practical example so people really understand what I mean. So I'm taking my savings from my prior job and I'm using it to finance a brand new venture, a startup. Mm-hmm. That's my savings. So what that means is there's no income. There's all expenses. So there's bills. $1,000 here, $500 there, over and over and over. Well, that's uncomfortable, but it's something I had planned. So for me, I'm reminding myself this is, you know, planned, right? Because it's an investment and I have a time horizon.
Right.
So it was strategic and well orchestrated. It wasn't haphazard. But I feel like I'm doing the right thing.
Is there a but?
Well, I think the but is I think that it's rare for someone to take that risk and to mm-hmm. take that leap and mm-hmm. to have that faith in themselves and the confidence, and it's uncomfortable. And even though I feel like this is what I want to be doing and
it's
I know that.
It's still a little scary.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to be an employee and receive a big paycheck right. and do the same old versus doing something new and taking a risk.
Right, going into uncharted. You are in uncharted waters.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And along with, even though you have this money to pay, there is a piece of you that every time you have to write a big check, mm-hmm. it's like, is this okay? Is this going to work out? Am I okay? Should I be doing this? It's so natural because you are stepping, you are forging a new path,
yep.
A place you've never been before.
Right. I was raised to live below your means, which I always do, and I still stand by that, and to get the safe, secure job. And now I'm deviating, and this goes back to our childhood. It kind of ties in all of these concepts we've talked about today.
Yes.
And now I'm carving a new path. I'm trying to carve a new path. Why? Because I feel like we're on this planet for a short time. I see I have aging family members. Some of them are passing away, and mm-hmm. it's sobering to say mm-hmm. there is an end here.
Right.
And with that, it's like it's a spark to say, are you going to just settle and be comfortable, or are you going to go after what you really love and make the most impact with your life?
Right. Are you really going to live?
Yeah.
Is what you're asking.
Yes.
Are you taking every day and making it LIFE capital?
Yes.
You know, in capitals.
And it's uncomfortable. And
no
doubt. The whole reason why I have this podcast is because I believe we have to take risks. Yes, calculated, but I want people to live their best life, to have the most impact, to
take chances.
And mm-hmm. the reason is because I believe the world needs us to all be our best.
Yes, I absolutely. And to feel what we feel and to know what we know and to be brave enough to look at it squarely and then move forward, because that's how you get to be your best self.
Yes. So the whole essence of this particular podcast is I want people to be the most you can be mm-hmm. and to be the most comfortable and confident, well-adjusted, make the most impact, be the most fulfilled. And part of that is really uncomfortable. That growth is uncomfortable.
You're so correct. So you're a brave woman is what you're saying. You're a brave woman. This should be called the brave hour that we do.
You're brave if you listen. We acknowledge you out there listening.
Yes, all of you. That if there's any piece of what Kimberly is offering up, because she's really offering and our conversation that she's allowing me to just, we're just spontaneously sitting here and talking about such important things. And she is showing her heart, her soul, her mind. And I mean, she's saying it's okay to do that. And I applaud because I mean, That is what I have tried to do, and I'm a work in progress, as we all are and will be until we take our last breath. We will never get there. There is no there. We just get to great places. Like today is a great day. What you and I are doing in this moment is a good thing.
I agree. I agree. You took my breath away. See that? Yeah, I guess that's my last question for you, Dr. Karen. You really strike me on so many levels, you know, your intellect, your beauty, your kindness. But the one thing also that's so interesting is I can see that you're in your flow. Like, you are not in a stuck place in your life. You are, you just coming here and being willing to take a chance, taking a risk, like it's really shows a lot about who you are as a person. And I guess, what is something that you tell, either maybe you tell it to yourself, like, how do you keep yourself in this constant state of improvement, regardless of age? You're in a flow. You're still going.
And that doesn't mean I don't have days where I wake up and I think, oh, you know, my knee hurts, my foot hurts, I'm cranky. My puppy died a few weeks ago, and that's so sad for me.
Heartbreaking. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that was such a hard loss. But in all, I keep thinking, just like what you said, life is short. Every day is a chance to do something that hopefully brings some pleasure to both myself and, in doing that, to another. That, you know, if I can be helpful, I think what you said about working in teams, I mean, you and I are a team right now, and we are, if others are listening, then they're part of this team, and they're joining us in thinking and hopefully laughing a little bit. And so if we can do each day as a beautiful way to just live our life, knowing that our days are all numbered. We don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Let's do what we can do today and make it a good day. That's really what I try to do more. And I learned a lot about that during the pandemic, which we'll talk about another time.
Are you saying you'll come back?
I will come back.
Yes.
Absolutely. I have loved this. This has been so much fun for me.
Oh, well, this is so amazing. I feel like I could literally talk to you for 27 hours, but you'll never come back if I do that to you.
Right.
So, and I'm sure you'll need dinner at some
point. I'll have to have a nap.
You will. Me and you both.
I'll have to have a cot here.
No problem. I'll set it up for you. Don't ask me twice. Well, I just want to say thank you so much for your time, your energy, and all of your wisdom and your expertise in so many areas. You're truly a professional and a best athlete in your respective field, on top of being an incredible human.
Oh, thank you. I just really appreciate
you and your time. So thank you for joining us today.
You're so welcome. And I've enjoyed it. And this is a wonderful thing you're doing. So good luck on your journey.
Thank you.
And I hope to be a part of it, a small part of it.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
All right, that is it for today. Thank you very much for listening, and be sure to follow us at Iconic Nation Media and send us a direct message and comment on some of our posts so that we can hear your feedback and incorporate them into our show. We appreciate you listening, and we look forward to catching you next week.